I am filling in for Rich tonight. Rich asked Dennis, a good friend from West Bonstable, to share his experience on this stuff tonight.
Hi, everybody. Dennis Alcoholic.
Hi, Dennis.
Good to be here tonight. I have done this stuff as it's laid out in the big book. Good to be here this evening. Excuse us for being late. It was 100% on me. I put the wrong number into my phone to get us to the proper address, so... thanks for being patient, and excellent to be here tonight. When I got to this point, I had gotten a sponsor, and he suggested I go to 90 meetings in 90 days. I did the readings on step one and two in the big book, and he told me to highlight some things that I could identify with and anything I might have a question with those two steps. And as like most alcoholics, I showed up to Alcoholics Anonymous. I was in a lot of trouble. So there's a thing that they always talk about. And for me, guy like my position, exact position, I was definitely in a lot of trouble. And they talk about it in this book that I was beaten to a state of reasonableness, which AKA means I was ready to listen for the first time in my life. Up until that point, I wasn't ready to listen to anybody or anything at any time. I was a full-blown alcoholic, drug addict at a very young age. I had gotten into a horrific car accident. I had three brothers sober in Alcoholics Anonymous up to this point. And I had seen one of my brothers go through this process, and there was a change in him. So, I don't know, I was very tight with him at that point. I literally saw his life change in a short period of time, like within a couple years. And he had joined the Highest Men's Big Book group. So I think it was a couple weeks in, I got my sponsor, and that was a guy named Dale M. That was the guy that was going to be my sponsor. He suggested I ask for help, which meant get down on my knees, ask a power greater than myself to keep me away from one drink and one drug for one day. He said to thank him at night. He said 90 meetings in 90 days. He said to give him a call every day. And, you know, there was no cell phones back then. It was just, if I couldn't get a hold of him, I was to leave a message at his house, and he would get back to me. And he told me to stay away from my old friends, which I didn't do. And he told me to stay away from alcohol and drugs, which I did do, except for not so much. There was a little bit of, I was still testing the waters. Like, I was beaten, but there was still that alcoholic pushback. But I know for me that I think it was probably, I started feeling good, and I was still going to court. There was a lot of chaos in my life, and but I had done these readings. I'd started asking for help, you know, like he suggested, on my knees, which I think was really important. That was a very big, that to me, that was a really big, very important suggestion for me. And I love the reading, and this reading especially. I love the language in this book. It's very simple, and for me, it was very simple at that time. And like I said, you just said to highlight stuff, just like this is highlighted right here. This is not the first book that I ever gotten, but that's what he had me do. He had me highlight stuff that I could identify with, and that's what I did. And I think it was like 60 days in, I'm thinking, you know, for me, I started feeling a little bit better. So what happens to an alcoholic when they start feeling a little bit better? They start to think just what this book describes, you know, that maybe I could manage my own life. A good friend of mine says if you've managed your life up until this point, for me, and that's what I was doing, I was managing my life, and I got into a point at that point in my life that it was time to fire the manager, you know what I mean? Like, it was time to get rid of me of running my own life, because I had done a horrible job to that point, an awful job. It was a complete nightmare. My life was a mess. I was, like I said, I was an alcoholic drug addict at the age of 20. It was, you know, for me at that point, it was 1987 when I got this guy to be my sponsor, and I started listening to his suggestions. And why did I do that? Because I didn't have any better ideas, and honestly, I wanted to get out of trouble. That's exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to get out of trouble, and that's what I did. So God had other plans, obviously. So for me, what I believe is when I started asking for help, I had a conception of a higher power. I accepted the first step to the best of my ability at that point. I was powerless over alcohol. My life was unmanageable. You know, I believed in a power, and that's all it says. That's all that was really required. I didn't have to give anybody a description. I didn't have to describe it to my sponsor. I just had to believe in a power that could restore me to sanity. That's all that was required, and that's all we kind of talked about up until this point. And he made it very clear that he was going to let me know when I was ready to do my third step. Like, my bright ideas got me, you know, in that seat at that point, and he was going to let me know. That's why we have sponsors here. That's why I still have a sponsor, which reminds me, my sponsor, Don M., told me to say hi to Chris. Are you Chris? I don't know if you know Don, but he said, say hi to Chris. So if that's you, that's you. I'm not sure, but that's what he asked me to do tonight before I forget. So I got to this point, and I was actually feeling much better than I had been up until that point. And I believe for me, again, was just trying to build this very simple relationship with a higher power. Like, I asked for help to keep me away from one drink or substitute for the day, and I received that help. I didn't pick up, and then I just thanked him at night. And that's where my journey began, right there. Some of the things that they talk about in here, like, he called me to his house. I was 90 days sober. He called me to go to his house, which I had lost my license. I had no right to drive. And I had my bicycle, and I rode from my home to his home. And I met him, and we did this exact reading. We went over the first two steps, and we did this reading. Very simple reading. And then he asked me these three questions, the three pertinent ideas. So the first one is that he said, are you an alcoholic, and can you manage your own life? At that point, obviously, the answer was no, I could not. I mean, that I'm an alcoholic and I could not manage my own life. And then the next question he asked me was that no human power could relieve me of my alcoholism. In other words, nobody else or myself could fix my alcoholism. In other words, so I was going to have a higher power or God, whatever that was. He didn't even say God. He didn't push any ideas on me. Just said, is there anybody on this earth that can fix your alcoholism, or, you know, can you fix it yourself? And I didn't believe that I could. So, you know, I said that obviously no human power could help me. And then the last one, which is basically, that's step one, step two, and step three, is that God could and would if he was sought. And that's really as simple as it gets for me in the third step. All I had to do is believe in a power greater than myself could relieve me of this alcoholism that I had, which I still have today. And from that day till now, that's what I've done. I've asked God to help me with my alcoholism, and he's relieved me of lots of things. Especially, I don't crave alcohol anymore. I don't crave drugs anymore. And let me tell you, that is something I did not go without for many, many years. Approximately maybe 10 years up until that point, I didn't go without, especially at the end. It was just not a pretty sight. Like, that's what I did. I used drugs and alcohol, and that's what got me into Alcoholics Anonymous, obviously. And then, you know, like I said, we went over this reading, and like some of the stuff that I have highlighted here is like the first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. So I had to have some kind of power to come into my life to help me to deal with this alcoholism that I had and to relieve me of what was going on in my life. And he just, like I said, it was very, there was no big test. There was, he just talked to me like I'm talking to you guys, just very simple language. And, you know, it wasn't up to him or me, believe it or not, at that point, whether I was going to make it through the steps or not through the steps. To me, it was up to, I was either going to invite this higher power into my life to help me with my alcoholism, or I wasn't. It was that simple. And so it goes on to talk about, you know, the self-seeker. I love what somebody read over here. It was pretty funny tonight. I could identify with that, you know. So our troubles are basically of our own making. Like, that was my life. That's what got me into the seat. I thought it was everybody else. Even up until this point, I believed a lot of the problems that I had were everybody else's problems. Like, they created them. Like, They did it to me. I didn't do it. I might have had about this much to do with it. That's what I thought. A little bit. I was just the wrong place, wrong time. It was always some excuse as an alcoholic why I ended up in AA and why I was in this position. But the good news was is that I had a very good sponsor with some experience, and that was the best news, is that this guy could guide me to do these steps and to do this step. And my biggest question after he asked me if I was ready, and I'll never forget when I took this step with him, it was at his little house in Yarmouthport. There was a his wife or ex-wife, whoever at that time, there was a knitted thing up on the wall. I think it was like a Sportster or something like that, because he used to ride Harley Davidsons or whatever. And that was up on the wall. He had this Sony TV and this crappy-ass pull-out couch. It was so uncomfortable. And I'll never forget it. And I'll never forget that atmosphere that I was in that day. And he said, well, if you're ready, do you want to do the third step? And I said, I got one question. So I had a question for him. And my question to Dale at that point was, I said, I was kind of told that this is something that I don't want to rush into. So back then, there was a lot of, there was like this contingent of people that if they knew you were in the men's big book group in Hyannis, they would kind of like get you to the side, and there'd be like three or four guys on this at this meeting that I would go to on a Monday night. And they're like, don't rush into this. Take your time. Step a year. There's no rush. You know, I know you're involved in this and that. But it was like they were like trying to talk me out of doing it, basically, and saying, just take your time. You know, your alcohol, like, my alcoholism was going to somehow pause itself. Like, that's not going to happen. Like, I was insane. I was totally out of my mind. And I said, Dale, I'm just not sure. Like, should we go forward with this? I don't know. And he said, you don't have to do it. And he threw it back on me. And I said, well, what's going to happen if I don't? He goes, I don't know. He goes, but I got a question for you. And I said, okay, well, what is it? And he goes, you can answer it or not. It's up to you. You know, whatever you want to do. He goes, how long did you want to wait to get better? That was the question he had for me. Do you want to wait a little bit? Do you want to, we can either go forward and maybe get better, or you can do the other thing. What, you know, these guys are suggesting. It's up to you. He didn't force me to do anything. I said, I don't want to wait to get better. I think we better do this. So it was just like that simple. That was the one and only question I had for him. He answered it honestly, and something told me to do it after that. And that's really where I just trusted him. And we got down on our knees. I held his hand. And we said this simple prayer right here. And that's exactly what happened. I held his hand. I don't know who read it first. One of us read it first. The other one read it. And then we said it together. And then we said a prayer together quietly. We read it three times, him, myself, then we read it together, and then we just held hands and we just said a prayer quietly. And all I can tell you is from that day, it says that there might be a great feeling might be felt at once, and that's exactly what happened to me. Now, I'm not saying God came down and moved a book or a chair or anything like that, but something definitely changed that day, because when I left that house, I felt something was a lot different. Something had happened. To this day, I just believe God came into my life more than he has ever been in my life up until that point. It was almost like, it was almost like a gift to keep moving. Like I could draw on that experience that I felt. I know what I felt. If I had to describe it now, I felt safe and protected. Back then, I just felt different. I mean, I'd be like, I didn't think anything, but I knew something was different. I just felt something was totally different. Something had happened. But as I look back on it, you know, I turn my will and my life over to care of God. I've only done one third step in my whole life. I say this prayer. We talked on the way up. Thanks for Steve and Ronnie coming up with me tonight. It was awesome. The three of us rode up. And it's funny, the point was brought up that I said this prayer this morning. They said this prayer this morning. But for me, I feel safe and protected from that day till now that God has been taking care of me. You know, it's I like to describe it like he's had me in the palm of his hand, you know what I mean? And that's how I feel. I've been guided and been taken very, very well taken care of from that point till now. I abandoned myself to God, and I didn't understand a whole lot about this prayer at that time. All I knew is that I had to do this prayer to get to step four. That's what I knew, and I knew what was coming next. And it talks about that at the very bottom. We launched out in a course of vigorous action, which is next week. And, you know, if you're sitting here tonight, to keep this as simple as possible, if you are writing your fourth step, I always ask Dale, what's my will? That's the biggest question I get when I do a third step with a guy. What's my will? What should I do? Is it a girlfriend? Should I get a house? I'm like, your will is to write a fourth step. That's all you, that for me, that's what your will is. If the rest of it, we can talk about. But as long as you're writing your fourth step, that's what I did. That's what Dale would always say to me. And then it goes on to say, one of my favorite lines in the book is that he provided what we needed if we stayed close to him and performed his work well. And that's all I did. Performing his work well means one thing. Pick up your pen and write your fourth step. And I wrote my fourth step after that. And that's what I think is what kept me safe and protected. And that journey, it was a very hectic time at that time. I was in a lot of trouble. And all that stuff eventually went away. And I had a severe case of alcoholism. And I can, when I sit with a new man and they're thinking about this stuff, they're looking at the third step. And recently a kid just was literally out of his mind. He's like, I don't know what's wrong with me. And I said, I know what's wrong with you. And he said, what? I said, you have the same thing that I had at your point. You know, you're right around the same time. You're right around 90 days. He goes, well, what is it? I said, I'll tell you what my sponsor told me. You got a severe fucking case of alcoholism. That's what you got. So you can either try and do something about this, and this is the only way I know how to help you, or you can do the other thing, which is do nothing. So that's my experience. Good to be here tonight. Good to see some old faces. And thanks so much for sharing. Thank you.